The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John 20, verses 19 to 31, where our text is printed in bold, we'll read those together. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. One of the great Protestant reformers of the church, John Calvin, observed this: Christians are in constant conflict with their own unbelief. I love that quote because I think that describes you and me. And it reminds me of the episode in Mark chapter 9 where a man approached Jesus to ask him to heal his demon-possessed son. And the man framed his request to Jesus this way: "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus replied, "If I can, everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the desperate father cried out, I believe! Help my unbelief!" That's exactly what John Calvin described as our constant conflict with unbelief. All of us who take our faith in Christ seriously fight that battle. The battle of wanting desperately to believe and yet being dogged by doubt. And we who are dogged by doubt wonder what we're missing. We wonder if we're missing out on God's blessings because of our lack of faith. After all, when his followers asked Jesus, "What work does God require of us?" Jesus replied, "The work of God is to believe in me." Read John 6:29. So how does God deal with us whose faith is weak and wavering? Maybe like yours or mine. You know, at the beginning of today's gospel lesson, the scene could not be more dramatic. The closest followers of Jesus were terrified and overwhelmed with grief at the same time. Just days earlier, their expectation was that Jesus would be crowned the earthly king of Israel. He'd assume the throne of his forefather David, King David. And all of them, his closest friends, would be appointed to positions of honor and glory and even wealth. Why wouldn't they believe that? 1 week earlier, they entered Jerusalem to a hero's welcome. People cheering Jesus, the miracle man, who topped all his previous miracles by raising Lazarus from the dead just weeks earlier. And walking along with them was Lazarus himself. And that following week, huge crowds surrounded Jesus as he spoke in the temple courtyard. But then the night of Maundy Thursday to Good Friday, under the cover of darkness, Jesus was betrayed, then arrested, then tried, then convicted, and finally hung on a cross, all within less than 12 hours. So a couple days later, that first Easter Sunday afternoon, the followers of Jesus locked themselves in a room somewhere in Jerusalem, choked with grief and filled with fear, afraid that the authorities who crucified Jesus were now looking for them. And that's when Jesus entered the room. "Peace be with you." That was an announcement. The war between sinful humanity and God is over. The sacrifice of Jesus has atoned for all your sin. You are forgiven and accepted by God. God is not your enemy. He is your friend. Sinful though you are reconciled with God. And then, as we read earlier, Jesus breathed on them, imparting to them the Holy Spirit, enabling them to forgive the sins of others or withhold forgiveness. We call this the office of the keys. It's a gift to the church, but not to those who do the forgiving. It's a gift to those who are forgiven, to those who hear the words, "I forgive you all your sins." It's a gift of forgiveness you can hear, just as communion delivers forgiveness you can taste. And that's why every Sunday, we just did it earlier today, we confess our own sinfulness, and then we hear the proclamation, "I forgive you all your sins," in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the practice initiated by this gift on that day from Jesus. So for the disciples who were there in the room that first Easter Sunday afternoon, Jesus appeared, and rather than berating them for their fear and cowardice, he commissioned them as emissaries to forgive sins. But Thomas was not there. And Thomas scoffed at the reports of his fellow disciples. He refused to believe that Jesus had risen bodily from the grave. Not until he saw Jesus himself would he believe. And there's only one problem with that. Believing is not seeing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1. In fact, faith is believing the exact opposite of what you see. And that's how God reveals himself to us. Lutheran theologian Chad Bird says, "God always wears a disguise. Jesus looks like a man, lives like a man, dies like a mere man. And yet faith informs us, Jesus is God. You work hard, yet failures overshadow your successes sometimes. You have dreams you never accomplished, or things accomplished destroyed by circumstances. You had hopes that are unlikely now due to illness or death or divorce. You envisioned things turning out differently. And yet your faith still says, I am a blessed child of God, or whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, I will do, or I will live forever with Christ. Believing is not seeing. To believe is to confess that God is where he seems not to be. That God is in your failures and disappointments and grief. To believe is to confess that God cares when he seems to be indifferent. I have a friend. I just had a phone conversation with him a couple days ago. He's my age. He lost a very lucrative job in 2008 and has struggled to even find work ever since. And he wonders, where is God? To believe is to even confess that God is good when everything seems to be bad. That's faith. And you know what? You can't do it. That's why faith is a gift. Read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's a gift. Did you notice that even though Thomas's faith failed, Jesus did not fail him? Jesus said, put your finger here and see my hands. He didn't abandon Thomas to drown in a sea of doubt. He stretched out a nail-scarred hand and pulled him back in. Like the desperate father from Mark chapter 9 who asked Jesus to help them if he could. Jesus did not turn him away because of his unbelief. He cast the evil spirit out of the boy immediately. Our saving faith is not something we manufacture with our will or our emotions or our decision-making processes. And praise the Lord that it's not up to us. Our faith is a gift from God so that no man may boast. And God will always give you the faith that you need. It doesn't take much. With faith, even the size of a tiny mustard seed, you can move mountains, according to Jesus in Matthew 17. You know, no matter how unfaithful you are, no matter how unfaithful you have been to God, God will never be unfaithful to you. In fact, he takes your fear and your shame and your bitterness and your doubt, even your doubt. He takes those things from you and carries them to the cross. And though he may leave your outward troubles, he will give you inward peace. The kind of peace that knows that no matter how great your sin, Christ's love and compassion for you, his forgiveness of you, is even greater. He will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of faith. We thank you that we are not left here on our own to conjure up our own faith somehow, some way. But you have given us faith as a gift. Lord, help us to recognize the majesty of what you have done for us and be filled with gratitude and humility. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.